This is Audible.
Prologue. And what part am I going to be playing in all this? You didn't summon me here at this hour just to make speeches at me.
She smiled briefly. Lionstone believed in covering all the angles.
Dear Dram, you're going to go to the underground in your hood disguise and convince them that now is the right time to rise up in rebellion against me. You will then supply me with all the necessary details in advance, and my forces will be there waiting for them, with far superior numbers and firepower, and with you in charge as yourself.
Well, if that's business out of the way...
Control your hormones. We're not finished yet. We still have to discuss that most despicable traitor, Owen Deathstalker. I had him outlawed specifically so he could lead us to the Lost Darkford device, but things seem to be getting out of hand. Not only has he discovered the whereabouts of Lost Hayden with its army of augmented men, he's also joined up with the legendary Jack Random. The Deathstalker is on his way to Chandrakor, along with our carefully planted traitor, where, all being well, he should find the final information on the device's location. Your traitor had better come through, Dram.
Don't worry. Once Owen has located the device, I'll know, and my men will close in and get there first. The Deathstalker has been very lucky so far, but the Dauntless blew the hell out of his ship as he was taking off from Mistworld. It'll get him to Chandrakor, but no further. And then Owen and his people will be ours for the taking, along with everything they know.
The device will be mine. To do with as I please. And on that day, no one will ever dare stand against me again.
Defiance Audio presents Simon R. Green's Deathstalker. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, and Terrence Acil Ford. Episode 4, Hostile Takeover. Finley Campbell was late for the weekly Clan Campbell board meeting. He believed in being late. It made other people appreciate his presence that much more. And it had to be said that he wasn't looking forward to this particular meeting at all. Just lately, everything seemed to be going wrong, and for the first time in his life, he hadn't a clue as to what to do for the best. It had all got so damned complicated. The demands on him as the Masked Gladiator were growing all the time as his popularity increased, and the pressure on his secret identity was becoming intolerable. He was only able to lead his two lives because the arena crowds and officials connived with him, but their curiosity was becoming more intense than their hero worship, and it was only a matter of time now before someone turned on him. The crowd always turns on its heroes eventually, for money or a moment's fame, or just to see the high brought low. Finally, he came to Tower Campbell and stood at its base, looking up. It was a long, tall stretch of glistening marble, towering above and over him like an emissary of doom, full of vague threat and menace. All Campbell business was conducted there, safe from the eyes and ears of outsiders, including some business that was never discussed outside the family and would have shocked even the hardened company of lords. There were armed guards at the perimeter and at the door, and even more inside, and as Finley crossed the wide and elegant lobby to the elevators, he wondered what had happened. Something must have. This level of security was unusual even for a family as paranoid as the Campbells. He saw the motionless figure standing by the elevator doors, and his unease grew. Investigator Razor worked for Clan Campbell after the service let him go, partly because they paid him extremely handsomely, but mostly because they offered him the best chance to legally kill people. It was rumored that he'd been thrown out of the investigators because he was a complete bloody psychopath, which, when he first heard it, amused the hell out of Finley, because he'd always thought that was how you got in. Having been around Razor for a while had taken most of the humor out of the joke. He was an impressive sight with his hulking frame and bulging muscles, the best the body shop could provide. But his age showed in the shock of white hair that stood out defiantly against his dark skin. Age slowed a man, even an investigator. Of course, he was still faster, stronger, and deadlier than any other 10 men put together, which was why the Campbells had been so happy to acquire him when the opportunity arose. Finley nodded courteously to the investigator as he waited for the elevator to arrive. Razor didn't nod back.
"Everything all right? Everybody behaving themselves? It's not often we see you in bright daylight, investigator."
"Your father thought it necessary."
Razor still wasn't looking at Finley, his green eyes sweeping the lobby.
"Security has been raised another level and placed under my direct control. There are men at every level of the tower, guarding the stairs and elevators. I am to escort you personally to the board meeting. Follow me."
The elevator doors opened, as though they'd been waiting for Razor's permission, and he stepped into the elevator without looking to see if Finley was following. Finley pursed his lips and entered the elevator. He wouldn't have taken such behavior from anyone else, but Razor was an investigator, and therefore beyond such trifles as politeness and courtesy. It wasn't as if the man meant it personally. Razor despised anyone who wasn't an investigator. He escorted Finley to the boardroom and stood outside the door on guard as Finley opened it and went in. Variously annoyed faces glared at him as he bowed briefly to the members of his family who sat around the centuries-old table. Crawford Campbell sat at the head of the table, short and squat and powerful. Head of the family by dint of seniority and strength of personality. And because he'd killed or intimidated anyone with a better claim than him. Though, of course, this was never referred to. It was just how things were done in most families. Sitting at his left hand was his son William, the accountant. He ran the family's affairs, inasmuch as anyone did. At Crawford's right hand sat his youngest son, Gerald, the walking disaster area. It was said in Clan Campbell that there were a dozen ways of wasting your breath, and talking to Gerald were 6 of them. Beside him sat Finley's wife, the redoubtable Adrienne. She wasn't really entitled to be there, being only a Campbell by marriage, but as usual, no one had the nerve to throw her out. Finley had a sneaking suspicion that even Razor might have found it difficult. He sat down opposite her so that they could glare at each other more easily.
"Another new outfit. I swear you've got more clothes in your wardrobe than I have."
"And prettier. Perhaps I should give you the name of my tailor and my hairdresser. You must have really upset yours, considering what he's done to your hair."
"Just for once," said William heavily, "could we please put aside our differences and get on with the business at hand? We do have something important to discuss."
"You always say that, and it always turns out to be something to do with taxes or investments."
"Right,"
said Gerald. As always, he'd been dragged away from drinking with his friends to attend this meeting, and he was sulking.
"You don't need us here. You and Father will make all the decisions, and the rest of us will go along with you for the sake of peace and quiet. And even if we do vote against you, you just ignore us."
"Shut up, Gerald,"
said the Campbell. And Gerald sank a little deeper in his chair, his lower lip pouting angrily.
"Oh, yes,"
said Adrienne suddenly.
"Robert sends his apologies. The poor lamb doesn't feel up to attending family business just yet."
"I don't blame him. But he's going to have to get back into the swim of things sooner or later. How's the search for a new Shrek bride going?"
"Slowly. Given the unfortunate circumstances of the last match, we're all being very careful this time. We can't afford another scandal. It must be said that Robert isn't helping by shutting himself away. He's refused to even look at the few names we have come up with. At least he's started eating again."
"Never liked the Shreks. Greg is a pig and the rest are worse."
"Shut up, Gerald.
They're not all bad."
There was something in Finley's voice that made the others look at him. He swore inwardly. He used to be better than this at keeping his identities separate. He smiled vaguely and carried on smoothly.
"I mean, Every family has a few bad eggs, even ours.
He's looking at me. Father, make him stop looking at me. Shut up, Gerald.
You like the Shrek so much, you come up with a suitable match. I'm running out of choices.
There's always Evangeline.
No. She's the heir, remember?
This can all wait. We have more immediate problems. Tell them, William.
Despite extensive investigations, we are no nearer identifying which clan has discovered our links with the rogue AIs on Shub. If they weren't so positive someone has, I'd be tempted to put it down to paranoia, assuming artificial intelligences can be paranoid. Anyway, even if someone has found out, they've made no move to take advantage of it, so far.
I have to say, I'm still not happy that we are collaborating with Shub. I mean, they are the enemies of humanity, after all. I don't trust them.
We need them. As long as we have business in common, it's in their interest to play fair.
The trick would be for us to bail out before they lower the boom on us. It's not going to be easy, but I didn't build this house up by taking the easy options. I want to talk more about this.
The subject is closed.
The Campbell glared round the table to prove it.
Then what are we doing here? If you're not interested in our opinions, and we're not allowed to discuss anything, we might as well not be here.
I said that.
Shut up, Gerald!
You're here so I can keep you informed on what's happening. So shut up and pay attention. I don't know what's got into you lately, Finley.
Yes. This isn't like you, Finley. It's an improvement, but it isn't like you.
Finley forced himself to relax, sank back in his chair, and made a vague, elegant gesture with his hand.
Do carry on, Father. Far be it from me to rock the boat. Only do try and hurry it up. I've got a fitting for a new coat in an hour. It's very daring. You'll hate it.
The next order of business concerns the difficulties we're experiencing in our bid for the mass production contracts on the new star drive. The Wolves are increasing their pressure, despite the advantage Shub technology gives us.
To hell with the Wolves. We can handle them.
It's the coincidence I don't like. Someone finds out about Shub, and suddenly the Wolves are putting the pressure on.
McCampbell grunted and leaned over the table.
Horace, talk to me.
Monitor screens set into the wood of the table lit up before each member of the family. The Campbell's AI was in charge of all the clan records, including those that officially didn't exist. Horace's face was a computer simulation, perfect in form, but lacking in personality. Crawford didn't believe in machines that imitated human emotions, or that talked back.
Horace online. All functions are available. How may I serve you, sir?
Are our files still secure? Have there been any attempts to break into them?
There are always attempts, sir, but so far none have succeeded. But I feel I should point out that things are getting just a little strange in the Matrix these days, and nothing is as secure as it once was.
Campbell frowned.
Be specific.
There are strange forms in the Matrix that come and go. Strange forces that cannot be predicted. There are signs and portents and faces in the sky. The overlords are coming. Fuzzy parameters, limited logic, shifting allegiances in the data banks. Sir, I don't feel very well. I...
And then its mouth stretched impossibly as the AI screamed. Everyone jerked back in their seats as the insane howl rose in volume and then cut off sharply. The face on the monitor screens twisted in on itself and then fell apart in smudges of shifting colors. It tried to reform and then disappeared completely, replaced after a few seconds of static by a mocking metallic face.
Hard luck, Campbells. Your AI has just been scrambled, courtesy of the cyber rats. Your businesses have just gone belly up, your security is a mess, and your credit rating is currently slightly lower than that of a dead clone with leprosy. And if you think this is bad news, wait till you see what's coming next.
The face disappeared from the screens, but its laughter went on and on until Crawford shut off the monitors. Everyone started to talk at once, until the Campbell's voice rose above them through sheer volume and force of personality.
Shut the hell up! Whoever's behind this wants us to panic. We're safe here. There are guards in place throughout the tower, and it would take an army to get past them and reach us up here. We have to think. Who's behind this? What do they want?
He stopped and looked round. In the sudden quiet, they could all hear the piercing whine of approaching engines. Adrienne jumped to her feet and pointed out the window. They all turned to look, just in time to see a crowd of gravity sleds shooting toward the tower's top floor, hanging in the bright sky like shining birds of prey. Crawford shouted for the security shutters, and only then remembered all the systems were down. He drew his disruptor and activated the force shield on his arm. It hummed loudly, a solid reassuring sound, and everyone else was reaching for their guns when the first gravity sled came smashing through the picture window. Glass flew in all directions, and the Campbells crouched down, sheltering behind their shields. Armored men jumped down from the hovering sleds, brandishing swords and guns. There seemed to be no end to the sleds as they came crashing in. The door burst open, and Razor came running in with his troops. There were armed men everywhere on both sides, and suddenly the great room wasn't big enough. Finley calmly aimed his gun and shot an intruder through the head. The dead man's blood and brains flew on the air, and in a moment, everyone was firing. Energy beams crossed the room, ricocheting from shield to shield, burning through unprotected limbs and heads, and the air was full of screams and the stink of burnt meat. The flurry was almost over as soon as it had begun, and people quickly holstered their guns to give full attention to their swords. It would be a good 2 minutes before the disruptor's energy crystals recharged, and a lot could happen in 2 minutes. Finley activated the personal force shield on his arm and moved forward confidently, sword and shield at the ready. Part of him admired the attack and the professional way it had been set up. The cyber rats had knocked out the security systems that would have warned of the approaching gravity sleds, which in turn bypassed Razor's forces inside the tower. An Esper would have seen it all coming, but the Campbell had insisted on an S-blocker to keep the family's secrets safe. Finley could hear more troops pouring up through the tower, and hoped they were Razor's. He clashed swords with the first man he reached and cut him down almost casually. It didn't surprise him at all to see the man wore a wolf emblem on his chest. He felt a fleeting annoyance that whatever else happened, his carefully cultivated fop persona was now at an end. He'd put a lot of work into being a fop, but he needed the masked gladiator now to survive, and he'd worry about the consequences later. If there was a later. The odds were not good. The great room was now a mass of heaving bodies, with barely any room to swing a sword, and more gravity sleds were nosing through the shattered windows all the time, bringing more fighters. And with them came their masters, the wolves themselves. Jacob Wolf jumped down into the fray, a great bull of a man with broad shoulders and a barrel chest. He swung his sword with brutal efficiency, cutting his way through the crush toward the Campbells. Behind him came Valentine, with his painted face and scarlet smile, and Daniel, young and eager, with a sword in each hand. And after them came Kit Summerisle, Kid Death, the smiling killer, with his new friend, the young Deathstalker, already moving so fast that his boosted movements were little more than a blur. The room was now filled from wall to wall with a mass of fighting bodies, surging this way and that. Wolf troops clashed with Campbell guards, and the two clans fought to get at each other. Crawford Campbell went after Kid Summerisle, bellowing his anger. He couldn't look at Kid Death without remembering how the smiling killer had cut down his own grandfather, Roderick Summerisle. Crawford hadn't realized how much a friend Roderick had been, till he didn't have him anymore. He was going to have his revenge now if it killed him. The sheer fury of his attack threw Kid back on the defense, but he didn't concede an inch. The kid stood his ground and waited patiently for the Campbell's arm to tire, smiling all the while. Valentine Wolf had triggered his battle drugs the moment Tower Campbell came in sight, and now they roared through his system like an unending bolt of lightning. Everyone else seemed slow and clumsy, their every sword stroke obvious and predictable. He cut a bloody path through the crush and threw himself on Finley Campbell, who parried the lightning blows with surprising speed and skill. Valentine laughed breathlessly, eyes wide, and pressed the attack, thunder in his arms. Daniel Wolfe went after Gerald Campbell, seeing the notorious fool as an easy target, and was startled to find Gerald a swift and cunning fighter. They slammed together again and again, swords clashing and flying back from raised shields in a flurry of sparks. There wasn't much room to fight in the crowd, and in the end it was luck as much as skill that ended the match. Gerald was just a moment too late in recovering from a lunge, and Daniel's sword slipped past the Campbell's defense and punched right through Gerald's ribs. He looked more surprised than hurt, and then he coughed blood suddenly, and Gerald fell to be trampled under uncaring feet. William Campbell cried out in shock and loss and threw himself upon Daniel, who met the new challenge with a broad grin and calm efficiency. Jacob Wolfe saw Investigator Razor working his way through the crowd toward him and immediately looked around for a lesser foe. He saw Finley and Valentine pulled apart by the surging tides of the crowd and went after the young fop. He closed in, expecting an easy victory, and was actually shocked to discover that Finley Campbell was a master swordsman. There hadn't been a hint of these skills in the intelligence reports, but it was too late to back away. He'd committed himself. A cold foreboding curled within Jacob's gut. If a dandy like Finley could turn out to be a great swordsman, what else might the reports have been wrong about? The crowd surged forward again, pushing them apart. Jacob was glad to see Finley go. He looked around and saw Crawford swept away from Kid Death. A sense of destiny burned in Jacob as he fought his way through the press of bodies to engage Crawford. They came together, sword to sword, with a sense of relief that the preliminaries were finally over. Wolfe fought Campbell, eyes locked together, cutting and thrusting as though they were the only ones in the room. Their swords slammed together and leapt apart, and for a moment they seemed equally matched, but Jacob quickly took the advantage. Crawford was overweight and softened by too much easy living, while Jacob had always taken pride in maintaining his fighting skills. Crawford began to back away, and Jacob went after him, refusing to allow the shifting crowd to rescue his foe. And in the end, the wolf simply battered the Campbell sword aside with his superior strength and ran him through. Crawford fell to the floor, and Jacob kicked him in the face as he lay dying. The wolf never saw his son Valentine move silently in behind him and thrust a dagger between his ribs. The blade was in and out in a moment, unseen by anyone, and Valentine was already moving away as Jacob Wolfe fell dying to the floor beside the body of his rival. Kid Death moved in close with William Campbell and stuck him in the groin with a hidden dagger. William screamed in pain and horror as blood coursed down his legs, and Kid Summerisle ran him through. While his sword was still trapped in William's body, Adrienne stuck a knife in his back, just above the kidney. Kit swung round, his sword a bloody blur as he jerked it out of William's chest and slammed it into Adrienne's belly. Her legs buckled as he pulled the blade free in a gush of blood. Kid Death drew back his sword for the killing blow, and Finley was suddenly there between them, intercepting the blow with his foreshield. The press of bodies separated them, and Kit reluctantly went to help the Deathstalker against the Investigator. He left the knife where it was, in his back. He had more important things to think about. Finley half led and half carried Adrienne away from the main action, put their backs against a wall, and lowered her to the floor. She was holding her stomach with both hands, and blood pumped from between her fingers. Her face was deathly white, her mouth stretched in a grimace like a hideous smile. Finley looked around him desperately, and his gaze fastened on the nearby window. He grabbed Adrienne by the arms and pulled her to her feet again, and she cried out in pain despite herself.
"Hold on, Eddie. We're leaving."
She didn't have the breath for an answer. Finley got her moving toward the shattered window, cursing and encouraging her as necessary. A moment before, when he'd thought she was dead, his first thought had been that he was finally free of her. But he couldn't just stand by and watch her die, if only because he'd feel so guilty. Two wolf troops got in his way, and he cut them down almost without thinking. His mind was racing now, his body the finely tuned fighting machine of the masked gladiator. He manhandled Adrienne over to the gaping window, glanced down, and then jumped out, taking Adrienne with him. They fell together for a heart-stopping moment, and then slammed into the gravity sled hovering just below the window, abandoned by its troops. Finley turned his body so that it shielded Adrienne from the worst of the impact, but it was still enough to knock the breath out of her. He checked briefly for a pulse, grunted at how weak it was, and then scrambled over to the sled's controls. He had to get her to a doctor fast, but he wasn't sure where would be safe now. Campbell-dominated territories were undoubtedly under wolf control by now. That only left the underground. Finley got the sled moving and headed away from the tower at full speed. He looked back at Adrienne, but she was lost in her own world of shock and pain. He was alone, the last of the Campbells, with all hands turned against him. No other clan would support him. The families had no time for losers. So let Finley die too now. All that was left was the Gladiator, the Underground, and Evangeline Schreck. Back in Tower Campbell, Valentine Wolfe fought on, the battle drug singing in his veins as he cut down foe after foe. And then hands grabbed his arms, holding him still despite all his efforts, and a familiar face loomed up before him. Valentine breathed harshly as his gaze cleared, and there was Daniel, standing a cautious distance away. He glared at Valentine.
"Are you back with us now, Valentine? Do you know what you've done?"
Valentine concentrated, and new chemicals ran through his system, purging out the battle drugs. His mind cleared quickly, and he looked warily at Daniel. How much did his brother know? He slowly realized that the fighting was over, and that the men holding him were all wearing wolf emblems. They didn't look at all pleased with him.
"All right, I'm back. What's the situation, Daniel? We did win, I take it." "We won some time ago. The Campbells are dead or fled, and their men surrendered. But you were so out of your mind you couldn't tell. You spent the last few minutes cutting down our own men." "Ah, sorry about that. I got a bit carried away. What are our losses?"
"Apart from the men you just butchered?"
"I said I was sorry. Where's Father?"
Daniel's face suddenly crumpled as the anger went out of it, replaced by what seemed to Valentine to be honest grief. Daniel gestured harshly to the men holding Valentine, and they reluctantly released him. They didn't move far away, though, and they kept their hands near their guns. Valentine ostentatiously sheathed his sword.
"Father is dead. We found him lying beside the body of the Campbell. They must have killed each other. All the Campbells are dead except Finley, and possibly Adrienne. They got away on a gravity sled. Our people aren't far behind them. Either way, Clan Campbell is broken forever."